is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. pushing to finalize a ceasefire deal in Gaza. Talks set to resume tomorrow, but Hamas now says it will not be participating due to sticking points with Israel, and a top Hamas official signaling they are losing faith in the U.S.'s ability to mediate a deal. The U.S. working to avert a broader conflict in the region as Iran vows to retaliate against Israel.
Overnight, the State Department approving the sale of $20 billion worth of weaponry to Israel as the Israeli military and the Pentagon remain on high alert for possible retaliatory strikes by Iran or Hezbollah for those two assassinations in Tehran and Beirut 2 weeks ago.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. Republican nominee Donald Trump in North Carolina later today outlining his agenda for the economy. Rival Kamala Harris campaigns in the battleground state Friday, rolling out her economic plan. Ernesto now upgraded to a hurricane after delivering a blow to parts of Puerto Rico, nearly 700,000 customers without power on the island. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin voters say no to two questions to amend the state constitution. Melissa Kay reports.
The executive branch will retain the sole power to execute all federal funds, as it has since 1930. This means when federal funds are directed to the state, the governor has the power to accept them and get those funds quickly to where they are most needed. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Rebecca Cook is the winner in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary in western Wisconsin. She takes on Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden in November. Tony Weed is the winner in Northeast Wisconsin's 8th U.S. House seat Republican primary. He faces Democrat Kristen Lierley in the general election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX 1490 The Eagle, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Rebecca Cook is the winner of yesterday's Democratic primary election in western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Cook took roughly half of the votes and won all but two counties in the district. Assembly Representative Katrina Shanklin won her home county of Portage and neighboring Wood County. Shanklin finished with about 41% of the vote, with Eric Wilson grabbing the remaining 9%. Cook will face Republican Derek Van Orden this November in the general election. Yesterday, a jury found Nia Thau guilty of 3 counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Thau is charged with shooting and killing 3 people at a quarry near West Salem in 2021 over a $600 debt. This was the second trial in the triple homicide case, as the first one last summer ended in a mistrial after jurors were split. The trial began last week, and the jury deliberated for 2 days. Thau did not take the stand in the retrial. Thau faces a mandatory life sentence in prison during sentencing later this year. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Dodgers beat the Brewers again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. L.A. Shohei Ohtani hit his 37th home run of the year in a 7-2 win over the Brewers at American Family Field. Ohtani now leads the National League in home runs. A rough night for the Brewers starting pitcher Colin Ray, who gave up all of the Dodgers, 7 runs and 6 innings of work. The Brewers have lost 3 in a row. Manager Pat Murphy says his team is sputtering right now. NFL experts keep asking, do the Packers really have a true number one receiver right now? Matt LaFleur had this to say.
I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents. They're all capable of being a number one in some capacity.
As Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Temperatures will smack the mid-80s today as clouds are increasing and a system slides in. Winds may gust up to 20 miles per hour and scattered showers and some storms are expected to roll in, mainly after 4. As we continue to get drenched into tomorrow, too, flash flooding is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
As fall approaches, you have a lot to prepare for. Back to school. Sporting events. Family gatherings, and staying on top of your health. The virus that causes COVID-19 continues to evolve. So this fall, no matter what you're prepping for, you can prioritize your family's health and make a game plan for COVID-19 vaccination. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I've got the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, will be talking about the DNC and the implosion of the GOP. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. We are live here on location, as Terry Barr said, at beautiful Volk Field in Juneau County, just outside of, outside period here, just yards away from the tarmac at Volk Field with the Wisconsin Air National Guard and several others. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, Mr. Zommers. It is Wednesday, August 14th, 2024. It is... Wait, the camel not make it? There we go. The camel made it. We were afraid for a moment the camel didn't make it up here to Volk Field. Maybe there was a mix-up with the civilian versus a military, but no, he made it as well. Mr. Zommers down in Madison, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square at the world headquarters. Zommers, I'm not sure what it's like down in Madison. It is an absolutely 10 out of 10 day here at Volk Field in Juneau County. How is it down there?
Gorgeous here as well. Very bright, sunshiny day, but in my opinion, not too hot, whereas some recent days
yeah,
it has
very
been.
Good. Just right. Just perfect. Zommers is going to be loading up the special Spotify playlist we have on standby at any moment, because our guest here, our first two guests at the table here from Volk Field Live on a beautiful day, is the interim adjutant general of the Wisconsin National Guard, Brigadier General David May. General, thank you so much for being so hospitable and having us back here at this Northern Lightning event at Volk Field.
Yeah, this is fantastic. To have this work out again 2 years in a row is great. And I tell you, these 2 weeks in August, this is my favorite place to be.
Well, and, ours too now.
And, yeah. So yeah, let's make it a tradition. This is awesome. We have so much to talk about and to show you as the afternoon goes on.
Well, it really is. And also joining us here at the table, if you're watching on the stream, and of course you can see everything happening behind us here. We already had some aircraft take off and land. Joining us here at the table as well is Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman, who is the State Command Chief. Chad, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again. We always appreciate the fact that you help us tell our story, so we really appreciate that, you being here for our exercise.
Well, I appreciate you saying so, because I was as we were setting up here today and talking, and by the way, every single person here has been outstanding to work with. I mean, could not be more hospitable and friendly and kind and helpful. But as I was talking to people here today, one of the things, and we continue to tell this, is exactly what you said, the story, and that when we see things happen on television, and we're always careful, we talk to you folks here, that there are certain things you can and can't talk about, but anybody who watches the news, lots going on in the world right now. And when the call comes, it's our friends and neighbors here in Wisconsin who often take the call.
That's right. I mean, we're very much dual purpose, right? And we're here for our state and for our citizens, but also can be called up federally at any time to support any of those actions that are out there. So yeah, it is a busy time for sure.
General, for those that might not have been with us last year at this time, explain to listeners across the state what we're doing here today. It's called Northern Lightning. What does that mean? What does it entail? And give folks a little history.
Sure. So we affectionately refer to it as summer camp for fighter pilots, but it's a lot more than that. It's a tactical level fighter exercise that allows a variety of fighter units to come here and train at a peer adversary level. So for a potential threat like China to come here for 9 flying days over 2 weeks and hone the skills, work on the tactics, do the mission upgrades for pilots, do all the things required to essentially launch an air war twice a day for 9 flying days to make sure that we're as ready as possible, because that's ultimately what the public expects us to be, is ready for just about anything. And these days, that could be a lot of things.
Is it too simplistic as a civilian to call it kind of war games? I mean, it seems like there's a camaraderie up here. Men and women who do these exercises, there's a level of fun to it, but it's also literally deadly serious.
It's extremely serious. And yes, it is essentially war games. We have a red force and we have a blue force, and they plan their missions separately, just like an adversary would with us on the other side. And then we launch, and they, in a very safe and controlled manner that doesn't involve actual missiles and bombs, they fight it out. And through the technology that we have here at Volk Field, they're able to do a very detailed debrief of what actually happened. So one side might win or lose, but then we come back and all the pilots sit in a room for hours and they go through the digital data that's provided, and they talk through what actually happened. Hey, here, you lost here, you won over here. This tactic worked here, it didn't work over here, and it's excruciating. These training days are really, really long, especially for the planners, the intelligence folks, the air crew, the maintainers. The day of a flight is just part of it. The pre and the post work that goes into it is extensive. So yes, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of fun and esprit de corps to be had, but it's very serious, hard work.
Also, talking just off the record, or I shouldn't say that, but just casually with people here, and also just out in public, we've spent a lot of time this spring and summer traveling all over the state, particularly Western Wisconsin, and for those that might not have friends or family in the military, I think this is an important distinction, but keep me honest on this, General. There might be a perception by some that says, well, you know, our military, they want to have war. They're training to kill people. They're training, but keep me honest on this. My take is that the first and foremost mission of our military is to deter actual violence. And look what's happening in the middle, again, without talking about specific incidents. When you have a buildup and show of force, hopefully that prevents war from breaking out.
I couldn't agree more. So there's an old saying that goes something like, the most expensive thing to do is to fight and lose a war. The next most expensive thing to do is to fight and win a war. Mm-hmm. The most sensible thing to do is deter aggression through being ready. And that's our hope, is that by actually being ready and the rest of the world seeing us as an adversary that they don't want to tangle with, we can forego any actual conflict in the future. And that's what this is all about. You know, we have a potential adversary in the Chinese that have stated, a month and a year in the not too distant future for when they might take aggressive actions. And they've been provocative for years in that regard. Our goal is to deter them from that by making them realize that will not work out well.
Yeah.
I think the other part of that too is proving to our partner nations that are going to partner with us in any endeavor that we get into, is that we're ready and able, right? And that we're going to be there for them if they need it. So that's a real key point, too.
I'm not sure which one wants to take this, but talk a little bit about, this is not just the Wisconsin Air National Guard. And by the way, Brigadier General May, he comes from the air side. Now he's the interim adjutant general. He has to pretend. It's like my grandmother used to say. She said, Todd, you have to love everybody, but you can like some more than others. So, I mean, do you have a little bit more affection on the fly side of this?
I was commander here for almost 4 years, sometimes referred to as the golden era of Volk Field. No, just kidding.
But yeah,
I,
no,
saw, I saw the statue on the way in.
I spent a lot of time here, and I love the people of Oakfield. Yeah. Many of them are still here. So personally, I have a very strong connection to this place. And I had a part in growing this exercise into what it is now with a whole bunch of other people. So this is very personal for me coming back here. And I also acknowledge the importance of what we're doing here, which is not just about the Wisconsin Air National Guard. It's about the entire Air National Guard, really the entire combat air forces, which is essentially all of the nation's combat aircraft, being able to come here over the years and train. So,
well, talk to us a little bit about this, the fact I got derailed there for a second, but this is not just the Wisconsin Air National Guard. You have folks from across the country right now.
We do. We do. And when Shaggy's on a little bit later, he can run through the roster better than I can, but we have a number of Air National Guard units from a variety of states. We do have some active duty here as well, including the Marine Corps. The makeup is different every year. We've had Marine Corps, Navy, active duty Air Force, Reserves, Air National Guard, to varying degrees every year. This year is very heavy on Air National Guard, which is great, because part of it is we also need to demonstrate to the Air Force that our part of the combat air forces is ready to go, and we can get some training done here that might not be able to be done anywhere else.
Yeah. Chief Master Sergeant Workman, talk a little bit about what your role is as the state command chief. What goes into day-to-day across the state in your role?
Well, I really try to keep my eyes on all things throughout our organization, really, and especially enlisted force issues, right? Lately, we've been really focused on working towards child care issues or providing health care and other things like that. Our recruiting and retention is a big one for us right now, making sure that we maintain the force that we need for this country. So any way that I can advise General May on issues that we have and try to get ahead of them to take care of our airmen, that's really what my role is in this organization.
I want to get your thoughts about 2 minutes here before the first break. Two things struck me when I walked on base today, as some of these aircraft were taking off earlier. On one side of me was, I believe, a 97-year-old World War II veteran that you all had come up here because his dream was to see aircraft take off like that. And on the other side of me were teenagers from high school that were coming here to learn more about the military and recruitment and the Air National Guard. It gives me goosebumps the juxtaposition of those two things happening simultaneously.
This base has been here 70 years, and we are absolutely part of the community. I met a gentleman once who lived in a farmhouse over on the north side, and he told me he used to ride his bike right across the base, right across the runway, to get to his piano lessons over at Camp Douglas once a week. And he said, "I bet I can't do that anymore, can I?" I said, "No, you cannot do that anymore." But there are deep, long-standing ties between not just Oakfield but the Air National Guard and our communities. You're going to hear more about that as some of our other folks come on and talk about that. But it's very, very powerful.
It really is. For someone to, I mean, it's kind of a military version of Make-A-Wish to see this veteran from World War II that God bless him is still with us and has the opportunity to come out and sit right here on the tarmac and see a dream come true at 97. How cool is that?
Yeah. And so easy to do. His, the timing was fantastic. You want to see one? Well, we can show you about two dozen here real quick, depending on what time of day. So, yeah, so things like that are fantastic, and we relish, sustaining and building those connections throughout the community because like I said, we are enmeshed in the community.
Yeah, it really is. We're going to come back, and I want to touch a little bit on, I know we're going to do this deeper down on the show today, on recruitment, because there's so many opportunities for folks. And good news for all of you that might not be spring chickens, a little late for Todd, but if you're in your late 30s, still a chance for you to serve your country. Going to come back live from Volk Field here in beautiful Juneau County with the General. And more. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio. Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at Voke Field here in Juneau County, central Wisconsin. That is the Wisconsin, or that's the National Guard theme, I should say, here. Going through all the service academies, or at least some of them. Glad to have you along with us. As you can see behind, watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, also known as X. You can see the actual airstrip behind us here. We are what, General? Maybe, I'm not good at this, 100, 125 yards away from the actual tarmac?
Yeah, about.
Something like that?
Yep.
All right, very good. We could have a takeoff at any minute, ladies and gentlemen. We're very, very. I asked if I could fly, and they said, "Sure, if you want to pack your own parachute." So I said, "No, I'll just stay on the ground." We have Brigadier General David May. He is the interim Adjutant General of the State of Wisconsin here at the table, and also Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman, the State Command Chief, with us as well. Gentlemen, I want to talk about this a little bit. We just had some. I'm assuming high school. People go by us here on this tour, have a lot of young people here today. Talk a minute. I heard today that there is a $50,000 signing bonus if you select a certain career path in addition to getting your college paid for. I mean, these are outstanding opportunities if you're the right fit.
Absolutely. We've always had amazing resources available for people that enlist in the National Guard, and it's only gotten better on the Air National Guard side. We have these very large bonuses like you mentioned. So today we have something, it's called an Airman Experience. All three of our bases do it, where they invite out high school age kids along with their parents or their teachers or whoever wants to come with them. They're all a little bit different, but the idea is to showcase some of the 200 or more career fields that we have in the Air National Guard and see if something clicks with one of the young folks. And also just to meet our people and see what they do so that they see that it's just a regular person who made that decision to join this organization. Now they get to do this incredible thing. Like I often say, we're ordinary people that get to do extraordinary things because of our choice to join this organization.
Yeah.
And Master M. Powell is going to come talk to you. She's one of our recruiters here, and she's walking around there with some kids. But these events are fantastic. In terms of inspiring people to think about at some point joining one of the branches.
Yeah, Chief Master Sergeant Workman, when did you kind of decide to get involved, sign up?
26 years ago.
Oh. Was there anything? Right. Was it just something in your family? Was it something that you felt called to do?
No, that's actually a good segue. So I did a program called Air Force Junior ROTC, mm-hmm. and I'm actually from West Virginia, and that's where I graduated high school. But they really gave me my pathway into the military, really helped me find my why and why I wanted to be a firefighter in the Air Force. So that was kind of how I got there. And it's a great segue because as we've been in this recruiting environment, it's kind of forced us back into the communities. And a lot of these students here came from Chippewa Falls.
Wow.
High school area, which we've had partnerships with and a lot of good relationships. And we're actually trying to get an Air Force Junior ROTC in Chippewa Falls High School. So,
well, there you go. For all those listening on WCFW, the TAP at Chippewa Falls in the Eau Claire area, maybe an opportunity for there. And also WFHR, our Wisconsin Rapids station, which is probably the closest here. here as far as the crow flies here to Volk Field. So any of those people listening to any of our stations, let's say that, you know, we have someone, a grandmother or a parent or even a young person listening today. Maybe, as I said, what the age is now, what, 42? You can
42.
Still sign up.
42. Absolutely.
I missed it by that much.
Dang it.
But I think this is great because, again, I've said this before, one of my few regrets in life is I didn't serve. And I think people in their 30s that, well, what's in the, how should I say this? Why would someone in their 30s, beyond just, you know, the stipend, I guess, or the salary, what is the available to someone that might be not your average high school recruit?
So the same opportunities are available to them. And we have people on the space that have joined in their 30s. In fact, we have a science teacher who is in our weather flight here doing weather, which is one of the more intricate career fields that we have. Lots of training, but it's a great career field. And now he aspires to be an officer potentially. But it's an augment professionally and also personally to what they're doing with the rest of their life. Obviously, someone that's closer to 42 is going to be at a different point in life. You know, yeah. Kids and a mortgage and a profession, all that stuff going on, but there's still room for a guard career. People do it all the time. Guard people are very busy. They're good time managers, and the guard service is, you know, it's a nice supplement to everything else they do in their life, and it's an outlet to learn new skills. And yeah, it does open up access to resources like healthcare and education, and an additional pension down the road. But it's not the demographic that we normally go after. But it is absolutely an option.
Give us a quick update, General. Last time we talked to you, you had applied for the new aircraft down at the Air Refueling Wing in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Give us an update on that, if you could, please.
Yeah. So, yes, we are still very much in the hunt. So, as a reminder, 15 states are competing for one opportunity to convert to the KC-46 from the KC-135, and that's what we're after for Milwaukee. The short list will be determined probably by the end of next month. So we're really getting down there. We're right down to the wire. I'm happy to share that our entire federal delegation have supported us in terms of signing a letter, and they're on board supporting and highlighting how great of a choice Milwaukee would be. So we're very appreciative of that support. And now it's coming down to the decision makers getting together and seeing who's going to be on that cut list. So we feel confident. We know that we're a great choice, and we would serve the Air Guard and the Air Force well with the KC-46.
When you mentioned this, my understanding is you're having some of the elected officials from the state here a little bit later on base. Not a lot of things bring Americans and Wisconsinites together anymore. You just mentioned the entire congressional delegation, Republican and Democratic, signed this letter of support for the new aircraft in Milwaukee. And I still believe in my heart of hearts that, by and large, our men and women of our American armed forces are the one thing or one of the few things that do bring people together from partisanship or from partisan aisles.
Absolutely. And we're an apolitical, nonpartisan organization, of course, but we get support from elected officials who come from parties. So there are some things we need to be careful about there, but you're right. To have our entire delegation come together on this item and support us is fantastic, and that should make everybody feel good about something. Anytime we can find common ground like that is a win.
Amen to that. 2 minutes left, gentlemen. What have I not asked you that you want to make sure we share with people across the state?
Chief might want to give you some Chinese before we leave here.
Are you fluent?
He's a bit of a Renaissance man.
Really?
He is. Yeah.
I love this.
Not fluent, but he might be able to order us a beer.
Yeah. Okay. Right,
give me a little. How would I ask for a Spotted Cow, my local beer?
Oh boy. I don't know if I've got that.
All right, we could probably ask for
like a glass of water.
All right, let's give it that.
So, Wo Yao Shui. Right. Oh. Water is Shui.
All right.
If you wanted ice water, you'd say Bing Shui. So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Just a little, just enough to get me by if I needed to, but yeah.
Have you ever had to use it, like, while deployed or anything?
No, not yet.
Probably thank God, right? If you haven't used that, things probably didn't go well, maybe. I don't know.
he can read labels on things that are shipped to his house that are in Chinese, though.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
it's not the easiest to learn, but
I've heard that. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's not Spanish and English are different base languages, yeah. So. But, I mean, the diversity of things that you learn, things you use in the Wisconsin National Guard, whether you're Air, whether you're Army, just a great organization.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Our Interim Adjutant General of the Wisconsin National Guard, General David May, and Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for having us here. Always fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks for awesome. Having
us. Our pleasure. Stay tuned. More from Volk Field live on a Wednesday. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
In recent years, family farms have become harder to keep afloat. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Dan Erdman, a marketing program manager with Farm Rescue, explains what they've been able to do to help Illinois farms recently and how many farms they hope to be able to help here in Wisconsin.
I don't know that we have a specific number in mind. We launched into Illinois last year, and we had, I think, a half dozen families that we, you know, supported through through harvest and now planting services this year as well. So I want to say the sky is the limit, but it's all about just making those connections first. We'd love to see at least a dozen families in Wisconsin that we can help here during harvest. Just about getting the word out and making those connections and finding those families that could use our support.
Dan Erdman on how many farms they've helped recently and the amount of farms they hope to help in Wisconsin. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and your midday markets are coming up right after this.
Beef producers, make plans now to attend the Stockmanship and Stewardship event in Lancaster on August 28th and 29th. This will be an action-packed agenda featuring topics from cattle health and well-being to pasture management and land stewardship, complemented by low-stress cattle handling demonstrations. From cow-calf to feedlot topics, it's covered and close to home. Go to www.stockmanshipandstewardship.org for more details and to register.
This year's Farm Technology Days is growing to the tune of success, August 13th through the 15th at the Country Fest Grounds in Cadott, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit wifarmtechdays.org for a full schedule of events.
Join our friends from Compeer Financial and the Agribusiness Tent 2 and the Midwest Farm Report at the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on August 13th at 2 p.m. Compeer Financial is dedicated to agriculture in rural America by providing financial services throughout 144 counties in the Midwest. Learn more at compeer.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report. And before your midday markets, remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com. Now for your midday markets from Chicago. September corn is trading at 381 and a quarter, up 3.5. December corn is trading at 4.75, also up 3.5. September soybeans are trading at 953.5, up 6.25. November soybeans are trading at 970, up 7.5. September wheat is trading at 532.5, up 3.75. September class 3 milk contracts are trading at 2116 a hundredweight, down 18 cents. And October class 3 milk contracts are trading at 21.53 a hundredweight, down 13 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Temperatures will smack the mid-80s today as clouds are increasing and a system slides in. Winds may gust up to 20 miles per hour, and scattered showers and some storms are expected to roll in, mainly after 4. As we continue to get drenched into tomorrow, too, flash flooding is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 82 degrees.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTime'sIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll have Joe Zepecki with news analysis and our Women Win Wisconsin visit, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Down to tell you now, they come to my door, they don't let you pass. Gone badly warm, gonna buy you.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live here at beautiful Volk Field in Juneau County, Wisconsin. That's off General May's Spotify playlist, Mr. Zomers. What did you dial up there?
The Full Bug by Van Halen.
Oh, very good. These are hitherto unknown facts, you see, that the General's given us these playlists, and so we like to play them to prove that even generals are real people. So it's always a lot of fun. Welcome back here. Those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter can see behind us. We are about 100, 125 yards away from the actual tarmac here at Volk Field. We appreciate being allowed to be a little bit behind the curtain and bring this all to you across the Civic Media Network as well. Thank you to General May for being here, first of all, and Chief Master Sergeant Workman. We are joined now at the table live by Lieutenant Colonel Michael Koob, and he is a great F-35 pilot. He is call sign, just like, you know, in Top Gun, Maverick is a call sign. Call sign Germ. Germ. We'll leave that out there.
That one set. Yeah.
We'll leave that out there.
Yeah, great.
Colonel, thank you for being with us, and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Todd. Yeah.
What a beautiful day to fly.
Oh, this
at
week.
Least on the ground from this perspective.
I mean, it's this past week, and this week so far has been wonderful.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of good training up here. And, you know, I'm obviously from the state. The units that are here from elsewhere,
yeah.
Boy, they really have been having a good time here. The hospitality in Wisconsin has been wonderful, and the weather's been perfect.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Colonel. Did you grow up here in Wisconsin? How did you first get involved in flying and in the military?
Yeah, Todd. Well, let me caveat this first by saying I didn't choose to be born in Illinois, but that's where, for some reason, I was born. And like any good Wisconsin person, I got out of there as quick as I could. I saw the light. No, I did grow up in Illinois, but as soon as 9/11, the events of 9/11 really shaped me, and I think shaped a lot of the generation. It's hard to believe we're already the old generation now of the military. But I joined after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I was already a civilian pilot. I had my instrument commercial, CFI, II, multi-engine, all that going through college. I'd fly anything for free. 9/11 happened at the start of my sophomore year down at University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and I said, you know, I really feel called to serve now and do something in the military. And it was the advice of an active duty friend of mine who was a C-17 pilot in the active duty who said, you need to join the Air National Guard. And so few people know about this opportunity that you can join a unit. Before I signed the paperwork, I was knowing I was going to fly F-16s here in Madison. And that led me through about 13 years of flying those and then into the F-35 for the last 4 years.
What has it been like transitional? General May has talked about this, but going from the aircraft of the F-16 to the F-35, I mean, it blows my mind as someone who can barely drive my Dodge Ram with the computers and that. I mean, to learn the technology, what's that like to
to
retrain yourself?
It's a lot easier than you think. So, you know, when you, I think there's two good comparisons. Those of you who are old enough to remember the 80s, I remember growing up in my mom's Oldsmobile Cutlass, you know, that had vinyl seats. I think in the late 80s or 90s, we borrowed a neighbor's car phone, which used to come in a duffel bag that
you know,
was the size of a football. You plugged in the cigarette lighter, cost you a dollar a minute to talk on. That's kind of, you know, our airmen do a phenomenal job maintaining the F-16s we had. Those were 86, 87, and 88 models. They looked brand new inside, but the technology was still, you know, generations old. The F-35 is more probably like driving a brand new
vehicle today, or like a Tesla, where you've got a flat panel display, everything is electronic. But a lot of that automation comes along with it. So from a pilot perspective, it's actually a lot easier to fly. You know, I've flown 2,000 plus hours general aviation. I was actually a SkyWest pilot before I joined the military, flying the Embraer 120. Mm-hmm. And so I've flown a lot of civilian stuff. I've flown military stuff now, T-6, T-38, F-16s, and now the F-35. F-35 by far, the easiest airplane I've ever flown. From a flying pilot perspective, super simple. Any private pilot out there, even student pilot, I think within an hour I could put them in a sim and fly just fine. It's
That's
very
incredible.
Easy.
That's
so
really incredible.
So what that means is now the pilot can spend a lot of that time that used to be devoted to just managing the airplane, trying to maintain your altitude and control your throttle, now auto throttle. Autopilot's all HOTAS, so it's on the throttle and stick. Turn that on, and now we can focus on the mission systems.
And we're always careful, and so you just stop me or say I can't go there. We're always very careful about what you guys can and can't talk about, you know, on the air. But my understanding, my very, very minor civilian understanding, there are different models of the F-35 where someone can actually do the vertical takeoff like that. Is that the type that you guys are working with, or is that not the ones that are in Madison?
So technically, so there are three variants, the A, B, and C. The way I remember, that's the F-35A. That's the Air Force version. That's the one we fly. That's the one that is almost all the foreign sales. When we talk about the 20 or so countries that have either bought or are in the process of purchasing the F-35, that we're talking the F-35A. That's the conventional takeoff and landing. The B model is the one, it can't truly take off vertically except in emergencies, unless it's a STOVL, so a short takeoff, vertical landing. That's the Marine version has that, the B model, and there's a few countries, I believe it's Italy and Singapore, about a few of those as well, but relatively small numbers. The C model is the carrier. That's the U.S. Navy and U.S. Marines that are here right now flying the C model. The distinguishing features on that is slightly larger wing. The wings actually fold, and then it's got the dual nose gear as well and beefier landing. Their hook is designed for routine use, of course, for carrier operations. Our hook is for emergency use only. So those are the three different variants.
Got it. So General May was talking about this, and these training exercises, my layman term is a war game type of situation.
Right.
And, you know, my sense is, but tell me, as a pilot, someone who's actually doing this, there's some camaraderie, but it's also literally deadly serious, because you could be in situations where it's your life or the other person.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, those of us who grew up like myself in the global war on terror generation, you know, I think we became very good at what we were doing in the Middle East over the last 20 years. But, you know, we were facing an adversary in an uncontested environment. What that means is we weren't countered in air. We didn't have a significant surface-to-air threat. As we look at the next fight, whether that's going to be, you know, Iran and Israel with Hezbollah heating up possibly as early as, who knows, this weekend. You look at a fight in the Middle East again against Iran, for instance, or you look at a Russia scenario, or a China is the one we're really concerned about. You're looking at a fight that's going to be very challenging. So what we try to do at an exercise like this is simulate kind of a peer adversary approach and how we can maximize our strengths. It's not unlike a professional sports team or like a football team, right? F-35 is optimized, can do a lot of missions. You know, it's the jack of all trades, if you will, kind of like the F-16, but it can't do all of those well at the same time. So we look at ways to optimize our strength, integrate with F-16s, using other assets too, the Navy, for instance, how we're going to use the tankers to get to the fight, execute the mission, and hopefully, you know, minimize our losses to achieve the objective.
I also talked a little bit about as well that everything you said obviously is 100% true. Is there also a component that the hope is to never have to go into actual active combat, and the hope is that training exercises like this and show of force actually deter actual conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the highest ideal of the warfighter is to prevent war from occurring. So, you know, it's hard because in the military we've kind of celebrated the fact, you know, those who deploy, you know, those were always like big things in CENTCOM, and there was a lot of ego in there too, like who dropped the most bombs. But realize, like, not dropping bombs is the goal. The goal is that the U.S. military is so strong and such a force that our adversaries look at it and say, you know what, that's a higher cost for me to pay than I'm willing to pay for what I want, because I know the U.S. military has the ability to completely annihilate.
Right.
You know,
And keeping the peace through a show of force.
That's right.
And also, I think, encouraging, you know, maybe people might be more likely to sit down and talk to each other if they know that things are not going to end well if they go the other route.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Michael Germ Kube. He is an F-35 pilot. We're here at the Northern Lightning Experience at Volk Field. General May said, don't let Germ sell you short here. He said, I think the exact phrase was, don't let him sandbag you. He called you one of, if not the top F-35 pilot in the United States of America.
Oh, I think that's overrated. Thank you to the general if he's listening still. But I think, it's this career here in the Guard. I can't, for all the listeners to say, if I can do this as a guy who, again, growing up in Illinois, Illinois public school education. It's certainly a path. If this is what you feel like you're called to do, the state has been wonderful for me. It is for a lot of our airmen who, you know, military service wasn't in my family history since World War II. So when I felt that calling and I suddenly saw this whole world out here, I mean, I can't speak highly enough about the opportunities the military has given me. They've been very good to me and our airmen across the state. Opportunities like, you know, aside from all the benefits of just free healthcare and, you know, free education and all the benefits that you get from joining, just the camaraderie and the constant growth you have. That's really what it is. I think that's what people miss the most when they retire, is that you're around each other. You're always, you know, challenging each other to become a better version of yourself. And every day you're finding new ways to operate tactically, new ways to perform better in an airplane. And that, I think that kind of carries over to all phases of our life. We challenge each other to be better versions of ourselves every day. And it's been an adventure. You know, I've had 6 wonderful deployments, 4 to combat zones, 2 where other theater security packages are called, have been TDY all over the world. That is short deployments. We have a state partnership with Poland. So technically Illinois is the state partner, but we fill the flying mission since we had F-16s and now they're getting F-35s. We have F-35s. So opportunities to go over to Poland pretty much every other year for the last 10 or so. So many neat opportunities that it's a whole world out here.
I think that's something, again, I mentioned before, one of my great regrets, don't have a lot, but one of them is I didn't serve. And I had the opportunity to work for a member of Congress for a while, do military affairs, and spend a little bit of time in D.C. And that's really where I developed my admiration and appreciation for everything you all do, because I got to see some of the things the general public doesn't see, and all the hours you put in, and relatively speaking, underpayment, in my opinion, for what you guys, what you folks all do. What would you tell someone, a young person, or maybe not so young, that's thinking, gee, that sounds neat. What would you say to that person?
Yeah.
Both, by the way, men and women, boys and girls. You've had, I believe, Captain Eagle
on
this show before.
Yeah.
And she's just a kick-ass pilot.
Yeah, she is.
And,
yeah.
So this is not a career. Yeah. If you want to be Army National Guard Air National Guard pilot, it's open to both men and women, boys and girls.
It is, absolutely. So the first thing I would say is there's opportunities later in life to do all the things. I mean, one of the problems is right now, the airlines are hiring great. I've got a lot of pilots in the squadron who are very interested in that path. And, you know, if that's what they want to pursue, that's another option. You can be a part-time guardsman in the F-35, still fly for the airlines, which is kind of neat. But what I would say and what I do say is there's opportunities later in life to do all those things. And there's a short window in your life where you can go live this adventure. And it can be as short as 4-year enlistment. It could be for pilots, it's a 10-year commitment post-pilot training, but some of that could be part-time. And then you've got the rest of your life to pursue airlines, to pursue, you know, civilian careers. Mm. So you can basically restart a whole new career at the back end. And you always have that camaraderie, those memories, those friendships, as well as I think the pride of saying, hey, I served. I was one of the less than 1% that served, even if it's for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's special, and you'll have that bond. The second thing, your other part about applicants, you know, we have hiring boards for F-35 pilots. Like I was hired off the street, more or less, so undergraduate pilot training. Captain Eagle was previously a intel officer, and we hired her from that career field. But no matter what route you take, we have about 196 applicants is what we had last year. We hired 4 out of that.
Wow.
It sounds like a tough odds, but remember, those are the same 196 applicants who are probably applying to all the Guard units and the reserves around the country. So hang in there on that. But, yeah, it's a mind-blowing number of how few females we have applied. So out of 196, we had 4 female applicants last year. So, less than, it's a 2% Which, you know, maybe fighter aircraft aren't as appealing. I mean, there's some physiological challenges in flying long fighter missions for females, no doubt. But that being said, it's certainly a career path, you know, that...
If you want to do it, you can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have three female fighter pilots right now in the squadron. One of them has been on maternity leave for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have Strike and then Banshee as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's certainly open to everyone. And like I said again, if I can do it, you can certainly do it.
You want to try a couple of calls? And people, I mean, we can
screen them. I'm happy, yeah.
All right, sure. If you ever wanted to ask a fighter pilot a question, give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And you can text us on the Civic Media app. Back with Germ right here at Volk Airfield after this on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says.
Avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live at Volk Field. Yes, just like Top Gun, although they were Navy pilots.
That's right.
But still close enough. But we love it. We love that theme song. Well done, Mr. Sommers, back at the World Headquarters. For those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can see behind us here the great airstrip. Well, we're about 100, 120 yards off of the actual tarmac, where at any moment we could see aircraft taking off. More importantly, here at the table, we are joined by one of the great pilots of our F-35s based at the Truax Field in Madison. He is Lieutenant Colonel Michael Koob. Call sign is Germ. If you have a question for this great pilot, give us a call. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. And let's see here, Colonel, we have the first question here from, let's get back here. This is from, I believe it was Matt in Germantown. Will you take me for a test flight?
Matt, I'd love to. Unfortunately, the F-35A, B, and C don't have two seats, so it's going to be a little tight there.
Here's a caller from WAUK in Waukesha. Do you ever crank up Danger Zone? Speaking of when you're flying, or are you just sick of that song?
I wish for the, if Lockheed Martin's listening, I would love for them to put maybe a Bluetooth audio system in the cockpit. That would be helpful. Unfortunately, I don't have that. And to be honest with you, when we're going out on most of the sorties, there's a lot more kind of focused, and you're kind of in the zone, if you will, but not really the danger zone, in the focus zone on trying to get the mission done.
All right, very good. On the phone lines, one more here off the text. Tyler listening in Columbia County on WMDX in Madison. My question for the airman is, have they ever wanted to fly over Oshkosh during the EAA since it's right in our backyard?
Yeah, well, in fact, I have. As a lieutenant, I did bring an F-16 in there, I think one or two years in a row. And then departed it, you know, or left Oshkosh, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad you're making it to Oshkosh. It's a great show. Hopefully you saw the Wisconsin Guard demo this year.
Yeah, I heard that
Thursday.
Was great.
We did a great demo. Included the Army and the Air Side. So again, if you have the chance to kind of see all of our airmen, these are your neighbors and local citizens, you know, putting on their war face. and operating for Oshkosh was kind of fun.
And our local station there, WISS in Oshkosh, always does a great job every year of covering the EAA. I believe we have Karina on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Karina listening in Milwaukee. Karina, a question for the Colonel here regarding planes versus drones. Go ahead, Karina.
Hi, it may be very silly, but you know, watching the movies, there are so many drones with the bombs, with the spy, with the technology, with the help coming through and dropping it off. So do you feel like they taking over some of your stuff you guys doing?
That's actually a great question, Karina.
That's a great question, Karina. It's so funny. This morning at breakfast, I was talking to one of the Intel folks about, you know, the future of war and how it's evolving. Yeah, like you, I've been seeing a lot of the same footage in Ukraine and whatnot, and these drone operators dropping munitions from significant heights, you know, clearly outside of audible, the guys on the ground. So it's a great question. I don't know. How do I feel as an F-35 pilot? I think there's still a need for the F-35, but there's certainly a growth for technology and really countering drones. I mean, we see one or two drones with ammunition. You see how deadly that is. Imagine if you had a swarm of 100 drones. How would you deal with that threat? And I know there's a lot of technology going into that, some you know, lethal type kind of direct energy weapons, as well as jamming in different types of ways. So I don't know. I don't know. I think there's still need for fighter aircraft, though. We provide some things that the drones can't. That's a great question.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you have a question for Colonel Koob here on F-35s, being a pilot. Let's go quickly to CJ in Stoughton. CJ, just a reminder, we cannot get political. We're on a military base here, but what do you have for the Lieutenant Colonel?
You betcha, Todd. You bet. Well, I first want to thank the Colonel for his service. I guess what an exciting and dangerous job he has. I believe in peace through strength and trust and verify, and that we should have the biggest and the best military. I don't know if that's political. I hope so. Or maybe not. But I guess, where do you go when you train? Do you, because I love the sound of freedom when it takes off in Madison. Yeah. I fought for you. I wanted you guys here, and I just wonder where you go and how fast do you go when you train?
Thanks, sure. CJ. Appreciate it.
Thanks, CJ. Yeah, and thanks for the support. I mean, that means a lot. And I know a couple years ago, briefly, when we lost Hawk in an accident in December 2020, I get emotional just thinking about it. When his remains were brought back to Madison, the outpouring of support there, I mean, there were at least 1,000 people in January of 2021 lining the road. So I know there's an overwhelming majority of support that's pretty silent, or silenced by a vocal minority about our presence there. So to answer your question, the first thing is our airspace is predominantly this airspace right behind me here. So if you look at, if you go to skyvector.com and you look at the zoom in on Wisconsin, you'll see the Volk Military Operation Area, that complex. That's where we train about probably 80 or 90% of the time. Other times we'll go down to the Howard MOA, which is in western, central western Illinois. And then even out towards the Pike Alpena Complex, Grayling Range out in Michigan, or even up north this week, we've been fighting up in the Big Bear Ontonagon Complex. That's up by Rhinelander, northern the UP. Mm-hmm. So we go all over the state. And then I just to piggyback on your question and to remember, I love everything you said. It sounds like you're a big fan. Sounds like a lot of the things that Ronald Reagan used to say, peace through strength, peace through superior firepower. We appreciate the support too, not only, you know, overseas. I think people forget that we deploy same with active duty all over the world. So our F-16s, our F-35s will be the same ones based in the Middle East or in the future a Pacific fight or in Europe. So we actually take our aircraft, our airmen overseas. So that's where we'll go when we deploy. Yeah,
that's great. Let's see here. Coming up, we got time. This is Thomas War. Quick call. We got to David and Mequon. David, you got about 30 seconds. If you can get it in a quick question, David and Mequon, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and to your guests, you know, thank you for your service. We certainly appreciate all that you do. I never take it for granted. I mean, it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. I just wanted to just interject really quickly with the drones and planes and other things. You know, what's interesting, because of the military has taken the active role with the drones, I think one thing that people are now starting to realize that some of these drones, correct me if I'm wrong,
some of these farmers now are actually using these drones to actually use for spraying methods as opposed to using a John Deere tractor. And
thanks, David. Sorry, we're up against the clock, David. More drones being used, right?
That's right. Yeah, we'll see more of it in the future for sure, David. Thanks for the call.
And we didn't even get to talk about your car collecting. Oh, I hear you have some vintage cars. General said make sure you ask about that. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Germ Coob, great F-35 pilot. Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you for the time. Thank you, everyone, for the support.
Stay tuned. Hour number two is next. We're live at Volk Field, the All Ball Show on the Civic Medium Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates for a whopper of a Wednesday edition. We'll have all the electoral results in the great state of Wisconsin and our friend Bill Press in the happier happy hour. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.